Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I heard the voice. I was like, is that me talking?
We went to the past, or did we go to the future?
I was wondering if I was doing it out loud, but...
Did we go to the future?
Or the maybe that's the next the hour. Past?
What was it?
Was that the 5 o'clock hour playing?
I don't
early?
Know what it was.
Jake Lyman, Derek Mason with you here on Stillman and Company. Jared on vacation. We are brought to you by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's talk some draft lottery here. We had the NHL draft lottery a little over a week ago, and I know Preds fans very disappointed that the Predators fell from the expected third pick down to the fifth pick, and the Islanders got the first pick. The Islanders moved up, I believe, 9 spots to take the first pick and had about a 2%, 3% chance of getting that first pick. And then last night, lot of blowback for the NBA after the Dallas Mavericks moved up from the 11th pick to the first pick. They had a 1.8% chance to get the number one overall pick, and they got it. Chance to pick Cooper Flagg. A lot of conspiracy theorists saying that the NBA forced Dallas to trade Luka Doncic to the Lakers and they would be rewarded with the number one overall pick. I'm not sure I believe that, but the NBA hasn't done a very good job. If they are rigging the draft lottery, they haven't done a very good job of hiding it with some of the results we've had over the years with, you know, obviously the first one ever, Patrick Ewing goes to the Knicks, LeBron James to the Cavaliers is a
Derrick
big one.
Rose to the Chicago Bulls.
It seems like the storyline that fits what the NBA wants happens to happen more than not. But the NBA, you've now got the Mavericks picking first, where they can pretty much replace the superstar that they traded away with another one. Cooper Flagg, outside of Victor Wembanyama, probably the most highly touted NBA draft prospect in the last... at least 5 to 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone has come in outside of Wembanyama. Did I say it right? Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Wemby.
Wemby. Wembanyama. Since, what was that, 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago. Yeah. And there's been some really good players. Like Paolo Banchero, Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, all number one overall picks. DeAndre Ayton was the number
one
pick.
But I don't think they were as coveted as Wemby or
maybe
Cooper
Zion
Flagg.
Williamson?
Yeah, Zion Williamson. Yeah, you're right.
You could put him in that conversation.
But is that outside the 5 years?
That was 2019, so a little over 5 years. Yeah. So, yeah.
But still, you can throw him in there. He's right there with them.
Cooper Flagg expected to be an immediate impact player for, we expect, the Mavericks.
Yes.
They could trade it.
No, they ain't doing that.
I don't think they're going to trade it.
So why would they trade it if this conspiracy theory is out here?
Right.
Like, people saying, well, no, the NBA is not going to, quote, give them a pick
and then
have them
trade
it
away.
Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
And if Cooper Flagg is as good as people think he's going to be, I think it would be stupid to trade away. I know that the proposed trades that are being put out there are for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
And it's Giannis, obviously, he's a Hall of Fame player. He won a championship.
Yeah, 3 first rounders for Giannis.
But do I want to pay Giannis $60 million a year? As he starts to decline, he's still in his prime, I would say, right now. But how many more years of that do you have for the Greek Freak? Whereas Cooper Flagg is going to be on his rookie deal for a couple years, and he'll be ascending as he joins your team. So I don't really see that. What I could see is the Spurs, who miraculously moved up to the number 2 pick, maybe they package that to try and bring Giannis to San Antonio and pair him with Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, but, I mean, it could happen. We'll see.
Draft lotteries, it's since they started, there has been the assumption that they are rigged. And the NHL did theirs live on TV. The NBA has put out the video of the ping pong balls being pulled. So they do have a video of it. Do we know if that was the first time that they pulled the ping pong balls? No, we don't, because it wasn't live. They could have just recorded over and over until they got the result that they wanted. But draft lotteries, again, have always had questions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's, you know, whether it's the NHL lottery this season. And we felt it this offseason a couple weeks ago where, you know, the Predators were, you know, had their opportunity. They had a chance, a mathematical chance, and they end up falling to the fifth spot. You know, you look at other sports where, you know, they implore, you know, sort of this type of thing. You know, it's just lotteries for me, they're fun because I go back to, because it all started for me when Patrick Ewing got drafted. Because it was such a big hoopla. Now, I know there were great players drafted before Patrick Ewing. I get that. Magic, Bird, all those guys.
Right.
But, I mean, Patrick Ewing, up until that point, man, everybody was clamoring for Patrick Ewing. Back, I think it was 84 when he came out, 85, somewhere around there. You were clamoring. Like, you wanted the number one pick for Pat. And, you know, people, oh, they rigged it. You know, they gave it to the Knicks. He's going to New York. He's a Georgetown guy. He goes right up the street to play in New York. Oh, the NBA wanted New York to have a marquee franchise player. Listen, it's good for basketball when the Knicks have a marquee player. It's good for the NBA when the Lakers have a marquee player. It's good when Chicago or Boston have a marquee player.
Or when there was a storyline like LeBron playing for his hometown team. They didn't want him going to Memphis.
They didn't want to see that happen. They didn't want to see LeBron sort of – I'm not going to say he would have wilted away, because I think the same thing he did for Cleveland, he would have done for the Memphis Grizzlies and won them a championship eventually. I think that would have happened with LeBron on there. But I go back to those days. So the draft, you know, some years, you know, guys get drafted, you know, first pick in the draft and nobody pays attention. Some years it's good to have the lottery and you know, you're wishing and hoping you get that number one spot. But then other years you don't, it's like, I don't really want it because there's nobody out here that, you know, that appeals to my team.
Right.
Sort of like what the Titans went through this season, sort of kind. It was like nobody really outside of the Giants, and I think there were one other team, nobody wanted to come up to that spot because they looked at this year's crop of quarterbacks as, outside of Cam Ward, there's really nobody else that we would want to draft that high. So they didn't even entertain it too much. But you look at the NBA, man, and it's – I enjoy the way they do it. I don't want it in the sport that I played. But I enjoyed the way they do it. Why? Because they've done it for the longest. It's tailor-made for their for their league.
The NBA, I believe the NBA started it. Mm-hmm. The NHL does it now, too.
Yes, the NHL does it.
The MLB just added it in the last couple of years. Leaving the NFL as the only major American sport without a draft lottery, I'm not saying I want it, but I do want to pose the question. And we'd love to hear from you, 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. Would you be in favor of the NFL instituting a draft lottery to de-incentivize tanking? And does the NFL need to do that? We'll talk about it coming up next. Could the NFL put a draft lottery in? I saw some people on X, on Twitter yesterday, after the NBA draft lottery, saying the NFL should do this. Do you agree? 615-737-1025. Trevor Maddich going to join us at the bottom of the hour for his weekly segment. Excited for that. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, we're in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The second pick will be made by the San Antonio Spurs, and that means that the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft goes to the Dallas Mavericks.
Last night, the NBA draft lottery gives the number one pick to the Dallas Mavericks. They move up what I believe I heard is an NBA record, 10 spots from their projected pick of 11 all the way to 1, and will likely take Cooper Flagg number one overall. So we started the conversation before the break. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in for Jared Stillman today on Stillman & Company. Should the NFL, the only major American sport left without a draft lottery, should they put one into practice? And we both agree, probably not. We have some people on our text line. Larry for Columbia says he doesn't like the lottery for any sports. I think it's necessary for a sport like basketball. We were talking about it. With only five people on the court, both guys playing offense. They're all playing offense and defense. You can tank.
Yes.
Like the trust the process 76ers. They were not trying to win basketball games.
No.
So you have to discourage tanking a little bit. In the NFL, though, do you really have to discourage tanking?
I think it's equally as hard to do it. Even when you're trying to say, do tank, the Houston Texans happen. And they scored a touchdown. And they end up going from the number one pick to the number two pick.
And it worked out. They got C.J. Stroud.
But, listen, as much – it would be harder to try to tank in the NFL. I truly believe that. Now, some teams are just bad. Or some teams, you know – the Titans were not trying to tank last year. Let's just put it that way. The Titans were not trying to tank last year. They were just a bad team.
Yes.
They had injuries too. That's how the number one pick ends up truly happening, where they're just not a good team. It's not like they're trying to tank. I've never seen – if you got Peyton Manning at quarterback, if you ain't got nobody else around you, you still ain't tanking. Because he's going to win games for you. He's going to elevate everybody. It's hard to tank in the NFL, even when you're trying to do that. If you try to implore a tanking philosophy, it was mentioned that, you know, tanking for Tua.
Right. Was the Titans from Mariota.
They were not trying to tank. They just were a bad team. You can't take a good team and tank them and to get the number one pick. You just can't. You could take a bad team is going to be a bad team regardless. The NFL, the only way you're going to get the number one pick, why? Because you're bad. Has nothing to do with your tanking or anything. It's that the Titans were a bad team this season. Did they tank?
No.
I said that already. Did they tank? No. The year before that, the Carolina Panthers. Was it Carolina?
The Bears.
Yeah, the Bears.
Well, the Bears got it from the Panthers. Yeah, the Panthers.
Panthers, they were a bad team. You think they were trying to tank? No, they were just a bad team.
The only way that you can quote-unquote tank in the NFL, I think, is if you just put a quarterback that you know is not good out there. And we saw two teams this year sub out their starting quarterback. The Giants put Drew Lock in there, and he beat the Colts and moved them out of the number one pick. Mm-hmm. Then in Week 18, the Patriots said, you know what, we got nothing to play for. We're going to rest Drake May. Joe Milton, go on out there. And if they had lost, they would have had the number one pick and probably would have gotten a king's ransom to move back for Cam Ward, like the Titans were offered from the Giants. They beat the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills without a lot of their starters.
Yes.
But it's hard to tank in the NFL. And that's why it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to have a draft lottery when it's hard to be bad. Like once every 10 years, I'll use the G word here, you'll get a generationally bad team, like the 0-16 Cleveland Browns,
like
the 0-16 Lions. You'll get one of those every 5-10 years that is just, you know, that team's getting the number one pick by about the middle of the season. But for the most part, all these teams are trying to be competitive, and it's going to come down to a tiebreaker anyway. It's going to be based off your strength of schedule, who gets the number one pick. So I don't see a real need for a draft lottery. But I did see some people out there who said it would be a good idea.
I mean, it's worked this long for the NFL, and I can't see – in order for it to change, there would have to be some type of financial incentive for the NFL to change it. Because the NFL – They make a whole process of this thing. It's a whole process with the NFL.
It's a reality show.
Yeah, it's just they build this thing up tremendously. So, like, we don't want to have to wait until, you know, some balls to be dropped in order to figure out who's picking what. No, we know, like, as the season's coming down, we know who's picking first, and then we can set it up based upon that.
Yes.
You know.
And we were talking about that, how it creates drama in the final week of the season that wouldn't be there if the lottery was in place. Mm-hmm. Like, no one cared about the Bills' backups against the Patriots' backups in Week 18 this year, but Titans fans did, because if the Patriots won that game, the Titans got the number one overall pick. So that adds a little drama. The only thing that maybe incentivized the NFL to do it, the ratings would be insane on an NFL draft lottery. Like, if you made a whole hour, 2 hour show of them going through the top five picks and which teams get them, you would have millions of people tuned in.
That would bring extra money outside of the season because, you know, it's something that would almost have to happen during the NFL playoffs. And nobody wants to be dealing with that during the NFL playoffs. You know, or you're going to have to do it after the playoffs. And then that is too late because people are, you know, scouts are out and the combine and all this other stuff. So you would have to rework a lot of things
right,
in order to sort of fit it in. And listen, I don't – if you were not a bad team, like if you were not the Tennessee Titans last year or the New England Patriots because they were bad too – just because you won five or six games, you shouldn't have an opportunity to get the number one pick. You shouldn't.
I agree.
You know,
like the Mavericks were in the play-in tournament.
Exactly.
This year.
And they end up getting that's not fair. I'm not gonna say that's not fair. It shouldn't be. You are on the brink. And the only reason you didn't make the playoffs is because you got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, AD was hurt. Kyrie tore up his knee. You had other players. PJ, he was hurt. You had a lot of guys hurt on that team. That's the only reason they sort of fell in this situation that they're in. So you are almost, it's like, I am rewarding this team that's going to end up being good anyway.
Right. This is a team that was in the NBA Finals less than a year ago.
Like, I'm going to say it again. Good teams in the NFL very seldom, rarely get the number one pick. Good teams, because even if they get injured, they're still going to win enough.
You can win five, six games
because of the team you have.
Yeah.
You know, the whole team isn't going to go down. When your roster's good, you're not going to have the first pick. It's when your roster's bad from top to bottom, as the Titans were, as the Bears were, as Carolina was.
Yes.
Because they traded their pick. So Carolina, they were bad from top to bottom.
It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to do a lottery, especially because you're only playing 17 games.
Yeah.
It's like the margins are so small in the NFL where if a team that's 8-9 and just misses the playoffs has a chance at the number one pick.
Oh, man. Like, that's why the NFL has parity, I believe.
Right. The NFL is the only league left that is 100% built for parity.
Yes. They want parity, and they understood this a long time ago. If you keep the fan base hoping, now again, you have a few fan bases, they don't hope, you know. And the Titans, I hope they don't get that way, where the fans are just like, oh, well, it is what it is.
Right.
But every year, you have fan bases hoping and wishing, like, this is going to be, like, we can make it. Why? Because it never seems like, unless they got a historically bad team, like you said, every football team walks into their new season like, we got a chance.
Right. There is not a single football fan out there right now that is saying, there's no chance our team makes the playoffs. Like, there are some teams that probably don't feel good about it, but I think every NFL football fan is out there thinking,
oh, yeah.
Now, if things go right for us.
If this happens. If this guy
if he takes a really big step, we could get into the playoffs.
And NBA don't think that way. They don't.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. A couple of texts. Mark from Clarksville says, I don't get why the leagues don't televise the pick draw. It's so shady. I get that. And that's why the NHL did it. Ron with an idea that they should do the lottery before the season and just pick all 32 teams out of a hat. And
before the season,
and just, you know, everybody's got an equal shot.
Nah,
I'm not behind that.
I don't think no one's going to agree to that. Man, one of the 32 teams.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get back to your texts in a little bit. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason filling in for Jared Stillman today. Trevor Maddich will join us next for his weekly visit on the program here on Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Jake Lyman and Derek Mason filling in for Jared Stillman today. And we are pleased to be joined now on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich. And as always, he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for taking some time today.
Oh, glad to be here with you, Jake and D-Mace. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. I am as well, Trev.
Trevor, I want to start with Cam Ward, rookie minicamp this weekend, the first chance for him to get out there at the practice facility, working with some of his new teammates, and now has kind of been introduced to the veterans. For a young quarterback coming in with a lot of expectation, what will be some of the big challenges for him as he works his way into that building and tries to establish himself?
I think the biggest challenge will be for him to put the brakes on his own expectations. You get a guy like Cam Ward who's accustomed to buying time in the pocket, making big plays, seeing that there's a 6-yard completion there to be had, but waiting a little while longer because maybe he can get a 40-yard completion. Those kinds of things in college you can get away with quite often, and he got away with it a lot. That's why he was the first pick of the draft, one of the reasons. In the NFL, playing hero all the time is a recipe for failure for a young quarterback. There are times when you've got to be the hero, but he's got to check the expectation that every play has to be spectacular and understand what success looks like for a young NFL quarterback. And what it looks like is know what the defense is doing, therefore know where to go with the ball and get the ball out of your hand as quickly as possible. Now, again, down and distance and game clock and, you know, score and things like that will affect what you're trying to get done. But overall, the big thing that he'll need to do to be successful is to redefine his perception of success from showing everybody how awesome he is to understand what the play calls for, get the ball out of his hand very quickly, and survive to run the next play and move the chains.
We also got our first look at the Titans' young wide receivers this weekend. They brought in three real impact rookies with Alec Iamanner and Chimere Dike they took in the fourth round, and then Xavier Restrepo, Cam Ward's top target at Miami. Trevor, does it feel like the Titans really need to get some impact from these three guys this year with not a ton of veteran depth in that wide receiver room heading into training camp?
Yeah, I think they'll need to get impact from two of them. If they get impact from all three, that would be great. But all three of them do different things. I mean, DK is a speed demon. He runs about a 4.35 40, and he can take the top off of defense. And that's important because one of the things that the Titans are doing to help Ward is incorporate some of the things he did well in college to their offense here in Tennessee. And one of those things is the concept of running four vertical routes where you've got four receivers that will end up splitting the difference across the width of the field and all of them going deep. So if you've only got three safeties back there, someone's going to be pretty open. If you've got two safeties back there, someone's going to be wide open. And Ward excelled at hitting those four vertical concepts. And they'll be doing more of that this year for Ward. And DK is the kind of a guy that as he learns the nuances of how to be a receiver at this level in terms of route running and things like that, he can still just take off down the field. And they need guys that can do that. Iamanner is a different kind of a guy. I mean, he's kind of fast. He's got enough speed, but he's a big physical receiver. He wins the ball because he's more of a beast than most of the guys that have been covering him. And so he's got a big catch radius, and he's different from DK in that way. And then Xavier Restrepo, who's an undrafted free agent, went to Miami, had a magnificent season last year with Cam Ward as his quarterback for the Hurricanes, and ended up the Hurricanes' all-time leading receiver in terms of catches and yards and other records. And considering some of the receivers that they have had and some of the quarterbacks throwing to them over the decades, for Restrepo to be number one is magnificent. But physically, he's not impressive on paper. He's not real big. He's not real fast. He excels, though, at running the short routes out of the slot where he can burst out of a break into an open spot. And if the quarterback is good with his timing, he can catch those shorter passes and move the chains. So all three of those young receivers are different. If they all three are able to perform, great. But my guess is that two of the three are going to need to be contributors as receivers, not just special teams, in order for there to be enough weapons for Cam Ward to be as effective as he could be in his rookie year.
We'll talk with Trevor Maddich discussing the Tennessee Titans and their team this upcoming season. I'm sure, Trevor, we've talked a lot during the draft. So it's good to have talk with you again. Now, looking at this offensive line, Trevor, and we talked about this during the draft once they drafted Cam Ward. This offensive line is sort of a remake in a sense, because you're moving one guy from one position to another. Then you're adding, you know, Kevin Zeitler in at right guard. You're putting Dan Moore at left tackle. And then you're hoping that Lloyd Cushenberry comes back and he's ready to go from day one once they get the season started. How do you see – what is your prognosis of this offensive line moving forward? Because I think – this is a question mark for me, not because I don't think that I haven't seen these guys play. It's just that they're switching guys now. They took JC and put him at his original position. They're putting Dan Moore in at left tackle and trying to figure out if Cushenberry is going to be back and healthy for the start of the season. So how do you see this offensive line?
Well, D-Mace, it's a great question, because it has everything to do with Cam Ward's opportunity to be able to perform well in his rookie season and beyond, really. You look at Will Levis, and for all the criticism that he's taken and for all the unnecessary mistakes that he made over the last couple of years, he played behind an offensive line that was historic in its ineptness. I mean, they should have a photograph of the last two offensive lines for this team in the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
And not for a good thing. Bad.
Oh, man, it was just horrific, right? And that I love what they've done this offseason, and really the last two off seasons, to get this offensive line ready to go. You know, I mean, you talked about Lloyd Cushenberry, who they brought in as a free agent from Denver. He's one of the best young centers in the league, and I think it would be a mistake to try to force him back before he's really fully ready. Because if they turn that injury into a chronic problem, they'll diminish him for the rest of his career. And it's really important for his quarterback, Ward, that he be at full strength. Corey Levin right now is listed at the top of the depth chart at center. And I think he's a serviceable backup. I don't think there's a massive gaping hole there if Levin has to fill in for a little bit. But when you look at what they've done over the rest of the last two off seasons, they drafted J.C. Latham, right tackle out of Alabama last year, put him at left tackle, and he did some good things and he struggled in some ways. But in bringing in two free agents this offseason, the Titans dramatically improved three positions, because by putting Dan Moore, who's a steady starter, not a superstar, but a steady starter from Pittsburgh, put him at left tackle, that allowed them to move J.C. Latham to right tackle. And that made both positions, in my opinion, solid to outstanding. Because I think Latham, once he gets reacquainted with the right tackle position, is going to be a devastating run blocker and a very good pass blocker. I mean, I think Latham is going to be a real difference maker at right tackle. And then bringing in Kevin Zeitler as a veteran at right guard, I think is a very important move for them. But look at what this means for Peter Skoronski. You know, when Lloyd Cushenberry comes back at center, Skoronski, for the first time in his career here at Tennessee, will have a veteran on either side of him at center and at left tackle. For the first couple of years Skoronski's been here, he's had some combination of a 270-pound center and a parade of left tackles that couldn't play at all. And so not only could they not help Skoronski develop at left guard, Skoronski had to help them. And he ended up making some mistakes because he gave too much help to one side or the other, and his guy caused problems. So all these different things added up to the offensive line for this team, especially 2 years ago, was heinous. If they would just improve from heinous to decent, it would be an enormous boon for this team. Well, assuming everybody gets healthy and stays healthy, they will have improved in 2 years on the offensive line from heinous to potentially very good. And I'm looking forward to see if they're able to make that happen, because on paper, assuming they're healthy, you go right across the starting five offensive linemen. And if I'm Cam Ward, I look at that and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have something that Will Levis did not have. And that is the opportunity to actually do my job as a quarterback in the pocket.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters, we'll take a quick break. Have more with Trevor after this. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in for Jared Stillman. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Wrapping up hour number two. And we continue our conversation with Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. Trevor, we talked about Cam Ward in the last segment. Will Levis also still in the Titans quarterback room. Derek Carr retiring from the New Orleans Saints over the weekend. Do we think maybe that could be a fit for the Titans to move Will Levis? And if not, maybe where else could Will Levis go if the Titans elect to move on from the third-year quarterback?
Well, the Steelers need a quarterback. You know, everybody needs a good backup quarterback. And the thing about Will Levis is that he was a high second-round pick a couple of years ago. Came into a situation where he not only had no protection, he also had, from an offensive line, that just really struggled. He also didn't have much of a receiving core. I mean, he had a couple of guys rotate in and out that were pretty good players, but didn't have an array of weapons that would force the defense to actually spread out and have mismatches happen. So they'd be able to, D-hop, they'd be able to, double cover him if they need to and not worry about anybody else burning single coverage somewhere else, especially in the time that Levis had to throw. So I kind of tend to think that Levis is going to have a better career than a lot of people think right now. And truthfully, if I'm Levis, I am livid that I got thrown into the fire the way that I did, and then I got blamed for the problems. And a lot of the mistakes that he made that were unnecessary mistakes, where he just made an incredibly poor decision, I think he was trying to do too much to try to score points and win games, knowing that there was not much around him on that offense. And that's a mistake on his part. He shouldn't have done that, but I think he's going to be more respected as a potential, at least solid backup, if not a potential starter as time goes on. And sure, I mean, he would add competition to that Saints quarterback room, and I think, and some experience as well. I think that would be a good thing, but I wouldn't be too quick if I'm the Titans to want to really get rid of him, because Brandon Allen, who they brought in from Cincinnati to back up and kind of mentor Cam Ward, if he has to play, the Titans season isn't going to really go very far. I mean, it's very possible that if Will Levis has to go in for Cam Ward for whatever reason, that playing behind a good offensive line for the first time in his career and having a deeper array of receivers to throw to than he's ever had in his NFL career, that Will Levis might just show that he's a much better quarterback than people give him credit for. Now, he's not going to beat out Cam Ward, not for the long term, certainly. But from a backup standpoint, Will Levis may end up being the most talented and dynamic option for this team.
Yeah, if you look at it, he has all the attributes or the measurables, I should say, but he hadn't been able to, for whatever reason, he just hadn't been able to put it together. And it's going to be a competition, but like you said, it's not a competition between Will Levis and Cam Ward. It's a competition between Will Levis, Brandon Allen, and who else is the
Tim Boyle?
Yeah. Tim Boyle. It's a competition between those three because, listen, you drafted Cam number one. He's going to play first game of the season, and you're just hoping that they have him up to speed, and it seems like they have a plan for him to get him up to speed and ready to go. But we've talked a lot about the offense, but what I've understood, and you know this just as well, Trevor, that another way you can help a young quarterback is that you get him a defense that isn't giving up 27 points per game. Now this defense from the outside looked pretty good. They were number two in the NFL. But when you start to really look at the numbers, we know why they probably were number two, but they sure enough gave up a bunch of points. So how imperative is it going to be that the Titans get their defense right as they develop their young quarterback?
Well, that's important, too, so that Ward doesn't feel pressure in the second half to have to win games, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how you help the young quarterback. You keep the score down so that you continue to hand the ball off or run play action and not put a lot of pressure on them. Although, I think if there's a choice that the Titans have while they're developing their roster to give maximum emphasis to helping Ward on offense or helping Ward – by giving him a good defense. I think you start with the offense, because if the Titans lose games because the offense can't move the ball and can't score, that will affect Ward's confidence, and that will affect him. If they lose games because the offense is scoring points but the defense is giving up more, well, then Ward is in a position to where, hey, we're doing well over here, let's keep it going. And I think that's a better scenario if you have to pick one side or the other. Having said that, the defense last year, D-Mace, you're exactly right. I mean, they looked great when it came to statistics in terms of yards allowed. But they gave up a ton of points. And part of that reason was that the offense, and Will Levis was a big part of this, with really bad decisions giving up turnovers, the offense kept giving the ball to opposing offenses for short fields. And so maybe the Titans' defense only gave up 37 yards on this drive, but it was a touchdown because they got the ball on the 30-yard line, right? And maybe if the opposing offense got the ball on the minus 20 and they had 80 yards to go, who's to say they wouldn't have scored, you know, an 80-yard touchdown? And so, you know, the stats from last year are really skewed for this defense. But they have the potential to be a lot better. But I think that in order to be better, the real key is going to be the cover guys. I mean, the corners and safeties, especially the corners, are going to have to cover, because right now it's a bit of a mystery where the pass rush is going to come from organically up front. And Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator, loves to be aggressive. He loves to dictate to the offense. What that means is you've got safeties and corners and others that very often are up near the line. They're blitzing, they're firing, they're stacking the line, then they're backing out. You know, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So the offense doesn't know what's going on, but they do know that there's going to be pressure on everything that they do. But if you don't have corners that you can rely on to cover man-to-man often while other members of the secondary are up front trying to cause havoc for the offense, then you'll end up with a defense that's, sure, getting pressure up front, but giving up big plays on the back end. So to me, the biggest key, until they can identify some organic pass rushers up front, will be how deep and how effective will their cover corners go.
Yeah, Jake and I talked about that earlier, Trevor. We're talking with Trevor Maddox discussing the Tennessee Titans. And looking at this team where they didn't get many turnovers, let alone interceptions, they got to find a way to generate those this upcoming season, because, like you said, Denard Wilson loves to be aggressive, and he can't be aggressive if you're not getting if there's no reward for being aggressive, meaning reward for them is turnovers, fumbles, interceptions, batted balls, stuff like that. And they just hadn't been able to get that at this, you know, they didn't get it last year, and hopefully they can get it this season. Now, what would be your expectations for this team? Because I'm sure the expectation, you know, with the in the front office may be a little bit different. I'm sure it ain't all built on wins. Or losses. So what are your expectations with this team, seeming that essentially it seems like Brian Callahan may be in a situation where his job is in jeopardy if this team doesn't improve?
Yeah, I think they will be clearly better. Mm-hmm. Will they be good enough to compete in the ACC to go deep into the playoffs? Not yet. There are too many holes in the roster. And they're going against, you know, for example, just one example, established quarterbacks in Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, mm-hmm. San Diego, Houston, you know, all kinds of places now where you've got quarterbacks that are in their prime playing at a very high level that are competing for MVP. I mean, that's how good they're playing, while the Titans are starting with the rookie quarterback, trying to get him up to speed. So they're behind in a lot of different positions. But I expect them to look more like a football team that doesn't make massive mistakes. It's okay if you're not good enough. But I want you to get beat while being in the right place, doing the right thing with the proper technique. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. You know, you look at the defense, and D-Mace, that's a great point that you make, you know, about, you know, the importance of them improving. Part of the problem last year was tackle. Guys would be in position to make a tackle, but they'd use poor technique and they'd miss the tackle. Or they take a poor angle and not be in position to attempt the tackle. Or they bust an assignment and they wouldn't even know where to stand, for goodness sake. And therefore, there's nobody there at all to try to make a tackle. And so I want to see defenders in the right place using the right technique. And then if they miss a tackle, it's because it's Saquon Barkley or somebody who's also very good made a great play against them, right? And there were too many mistakes on both sides of the ball that were just inexplicable, ridiculous high school level mistakes. And I want to see this team look like a team that you have to defeat, not a team that beats itself.
Always fantastic stuff from Trevor Maddich. Trevor, thanks so much for taking some time. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, D-Man.
All right, Trev.
Trevor Maddich joining us for his weekly visit brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. Always one of the best guests on this station. If you want a guy who's going to go in-depth on everything, Trevor Maddich is your guy.
Absolutely.
Great answers there. We'll react to it next. And also talk a little bit more about the Titans' schedule as we will find out the dates, the times, primetime games, where they're playing. We know where they're playing, but yeah. All that tomorrow night. We'll dive into it in our final hour coming up next. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.